Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me once again to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Last week, we started for the first year a short series in regards to making a difference in the new year. And we're going to take the next several weeks and continue this thought from Ephesians 4. As we talked about, this was written to the church of Ephesus. And as it was written to the church of Ephesus, we know it was a good church, but it had some struggles, just like any church does. And it had some areas that it needed to improve and to grow. And as we looked at last week, you saw Paul's heart as he wrote this. He says, "I beseech thee." That means, "I beg you out of love." He wasn't coming down on them and crushing them and saying, "You're just terrible, worthless human beings. What good are you?" He says, "Out of love, I want you to get a hold of some truths. Out of love, I want you to see some of these truths that I've given you. As a prisoner of Christ, as I'm in Christ Jesus, not just a prisoner in the prison, but as I'm a prisoner of Christ, as I'm in Christ, as I'm abiding in Christ, as I'm in Him, out of my heart of love for you, I want you to gain some of these wonderful truths that you can take and you can apply to your lives as individuals and your life as a church." And he says, "What is some of those truths I want to give you?" He said this. He says, "I want you to walk worthy of your vocation." And so we looked at last week this thought of walking worthy of our vocation. And we looked at how do we do this. According to this portion of scripture that we have before us, we have to have lowliness to walk worthy of our vocation. We have to have meekness to walk worthy of our vocation. We have to have long-suffering to walk worthy of our vocation. And we ought to be forbearing one another in love to walk worthy in our vocation. This morning, we're going to pick up in verse number 3. And if you're able to, please stand with me as we read from verse 3 through verse 13 this morning. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we ask this morning as we look at this portion once again, you would illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the truths you want us to glean. And Lord, we pray if there's one that does not know you, Savior, that today be their day of salvation. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As we said last week, no matter if you failed last year, no matter if you succeeded last year in making a difference in this world, it doesn't matter. You can continue to live for God this year if you were living for God, or you can start living for God this year even if you failed last year. Many times we allow the past to dictate the future, And we cannot do that. We need to look forward. Don't think upon the things past. None of us have apprehended. Forget those things which are behind. Reaching forth to those things which are before us. Looking for what Jesus would have us to do this year. I believe we as a church and we as individuals, each of us, myself included, there are areas we need to improve upon. Areas we need to grow and mature and be used of God greater than we've ever been used of God before. We come to this verse 3. We looked at walking worthy of vocation. As we walk worthy, there's many things that are involved. But I want us to look at this thought of walking in unity. Walking in unity. Look again with me in verse 3. We see the word endeavor. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That word endeavor means studying, striving, working. It carries the idea. Paul says, I beseech ye, out of love for you, I want you to get this, that each of you that make up the body, each of you that make up the church, each of you that make up this New Testament local church, I want you to endeavor to have the spirit of unity. I want you to work towards it. I want you to strive towards it. I want you to study to do it. Well, endeavoring, studying. How does studying help you to bring unity? What this is carrying the idea, I want you to know what God's word says. And because you as a church are studying and you know the word of God, it brings unity together. I want you to get this morning. I want us to understand this morning. Some of the reasons there's disunity in New Testament local churches. The reason that sometimes there's not unity and the church is not brought together as it should. And we're not going in the same direction is because we're on different pages. What do you mean? Well, I've shared this before. There's many times I've had marriage counseling or pre-marriage counseling with individuals. And they have different thoughts when it comes to certain things. And one of those thoughts has to do with kids. Okay? And sometimes the husband wants 20 kids and the wife wants no kids. Or vice versa, right? It's usually the wife that wants 20 kids and the husband doesn't. I wanted 20 kids. I would love to have 20 kids. I was, the other day, Marta is with us and we love having the exchange students with us and it's been great. And I said something about, oh, I would love to have another one. And she says, you're crazy. She says, you want another one? No. And she goes, I don't even know why you do exchange students and that. And the thing is, but what happens is, a lot of times, if that's not worked out, that becomes a problem in the marriage. And as we look at the church, we look at a picture of marriage. We look at this idea there of a family, of being brought together. The church is also called the family of God and brought together. And the individuals, they're together. And what happens many times is we're not studying. We don't know what God's word says. And we're on different pages. That's why it says to the early church, be of one mind, be of one accord, be on the same page. We need to be studying. Another area that couples struggle with in the beginning, if they're not on the same page, is not just kids. It's called money. Some have different ways of handling money. Some are called free spirit when it comes to money. That means if they have it in their pocket, even if it is for something else, they spend it. You ever been with someone that never thinks about what they're going to buy? They just, I can buy it. I don't understand that. I mean, those that have gone shopping with me realize that I have to look for things. When Tanya and I were going to get engaged, I took my mom and my sisters and we looked and looked and I shopped and I compared and I bartered. And even in this day, you can still barter. And you went back and forth and everything. You can't just, but people have different ways of doing things. There's people like myself that you have to be have a very system on how you're going to spend, what you're going to do. You have your budget. And there's other people that are more, woo, let's go just do it. That creates issues. You see, when it comes to the Word of God and it comes to the church, it says endeavoring, or that idea of studying, to keep unity. That means we need to be grounded and be on the same page. Now, it doesn't mean you agree on everything, okay? I'm not going to agree with everything. I think some of you don't understand style. I almost wore it, Brother Steve. I have a pink shirt that I wear sometimes. And every time I wear my pink shirt, Brother Steve comes up to me and says something. Your mother dresses you funny. He says every time that I wear it. Your mother dresses you funny. Now, we can joke about that. And you know what? That's not going to be something that divides or bring disunity. Now, we can allow certain things like that to sometimes bring disunity. But the idea is we need to study. We need the Word of God. That is why it's crucial that a church family studies the Word of God together. Or, preacher, I don't need the church. I don't need to come to church to learn the Bible. I don't need to come to church to get taught. I know more than you. I can sit down and read the Word of God. And some of you do. You're a lot more intelligent than me. I understand that. And you can sit down, you can read the Word of God again. But there is something when we come together and we study the same things and we read the Word of God together and we sing hymns together and we do those things. And the reason we sing hymns, and there's nothing wrong with some of the newer songs, but let me tell you, there's doctrine in the hymns that we sing. And there's something about coming together and studying together. It brings a unity. And it says endeavoring to keep the unity. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You know what needs to happen? There needs to be unity in the church. It brings bond. Well, we're to walk in unity. And it brings peace. Well, how do we walk in unity? We looked at last week, how do we walk worthy of revocation? This week, we're going to look at how do we walk in unity. Look with me in verse number 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father all who is above all, and through all, and in you all. There is one body. We are not to be divided. Now look at this. How do we walk worthy? To understand we're to be one. Now I want to do a quick teaching here this morning. Because there is the local church. Almost every time that the word church is used, it's the word ekklesia. Now, we're not going to get a huge Greek lesson and all that there. And that is talking about a called out assembly. And there's other times, the only two other times that the word church is used, it's referring to what we refer to as the family of God. That is all that are believers, all that are in Christ. Now, this is written here to a New Testament local church, the church at Ephesus. Now, the application can be made to all New Testament local churches. But it is talking to a local church. And this is the teaching given to the local church, that you're to be one body. That means you're not to have 20 heads. You are to be together, working together as one unit. Not everyone going in different directions as a church. Now, we understand there's many members, and they have different abilities. They have different ways of doing things, but you work together. Now, I just want to give a silly illustration of this. The other day, Caitlin bought herself a brand new car. Did you know that, Caitlin? She got rid of her little CVR and she bought herself a Mustang convertible. Bright cherry red. And the nice brand new black top. I tell you, with a beautiful the wheels on that thing. It just looked amazing. She went to take it for the test drive, though, and she realized there was two gas pedals. And she didn't understand why there would be two gas pedals in this vehicle. No, it wasn't the old days of Fred Flintstone, Rich, that he had a pedal. It had two gas pedals. And so she stepped on one, and it was going very well. Drove great. She thought, well, I'm going to step on both. I could probably get more speed. And she decided to step on both gas pedals. When she did, the car split in half. And here's Caitlin straddling both sides of the car. It split in half. What they did is they put two engines in the car, hooked both engines up, and one side ran one and one side ran the other. But when they hit the gas pedals, they both went in their own direction and split apart. I know that's silly. I know it's not possible. I understand all that. But this is the idea of what happens. We, as a church, as a New Testament local church, we need to be studying. We need to be on the same page. We need to know what the Word of God says. We need to know that. But we also have to understand we're to be one cohesive unit working together. We don't need 20 gas pedals stepping on all the gas pedals and splitting in all different directions. I understand that some of our personalities are different personalities. There's nothing wrong with that. I understand some of us have different gifts, and we're going to talk about that as we get into this. And we have different ways of doing it. But we have to understand, we're not in competition in the New Testament local church. We are not to lift our agenda above someone else's agenda. Because our agenda, we're going to see in this, is to glorify God and be the lighthouse that we ought to be in the church and in the community that we ought to be. And we're to be one body working together. That means that everyone has the common goal of pleasing God and being that lighthouse. That means we all come together and we all fill the need that is needed, and we work together and we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God as we follow that leader that God has placed in the church. Not that he's the dictator, because he's not. He's the help lead, guide, and direct and teach as you follow the Spirit. As Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. We're to follow after the Spirit of God and work together. That's the idea of the one body. The one Spirit. What is it talking about, the one Spirit? It's talking about they are to follow the leading of the Spirit, not the leading of emotions. The leading of the Spirit. That's why there are many spirits that try to get their attention. Go to 1 John if you have time. Read about 1 John. What does he tell you in 1 John? Try the spirits. See if they're of God or if they're not of God. I tell you, if we're going to have unity in the church, we need to understand that we're to be one body. But we ought to also understand we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We not need to listen to other spirits. Many times we listen to other spirits. That's why 1 John says, try the spirits and see if they're of God. What does that mean for us as a local church? Do you know we need to understand that we need to follow God's leading, not this world's leading? We need to follow God's leading, not what we think will build the church. Do you know there's hundreds of books out there how to build the church? And can I be honest with you? I've looked at a few of those just to see. Do you know what? Most of those books leave God out of the equation. And you're never going to build a church when you leave God out of the equation. Because who do we need to follow? The Spirit of God. Do you know a church is different than a business? A church is different than a business. And when we treat a church as a business, we've missed it. We'll follow another spirit. What does it mean to try the Spirit? It means that, how is this going to bring unity? Is that every one of us is spirit-led. And when we're spirit-led, we're one body with one spirit, when we're Spirit-led, when we, every one of us that makes up the local church, is Spirit-led, it brings unity. Because you know what happens? It's no longer my will. It's no longer what I want to accomplish. It's no matter what I want to do. It's no matter this is the way I want it done. It's we're following God and we're going to do it God's way. I'm not going to get upset at Brother Dave because he doesn't do it my way. I'm going to stand. We are here to work together and have an account. We're going to accomplish the goal that God has called us to, and we're going to help out any way we can. And we're going to understand we got to have that spirit. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm not led by my emotions. I'm not led by my feelings, but I'm led by the Spirit of God. And as I'm led by the Spirit of God, then we're going to do great things for God. I'm going to be one body, one spirit. One, look at the next, here, go ahead and look at scripture. Let's see what it says. Here, we're to be one body. We're to be one spirit. And even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One hope of our calling. What is that talking about, the one hope of a calling? It's talking about Jesus, and it's talking about the second coming of the Lord. We're to have this mindset of this unity. We're to be focused on this one hope. The only hope that this church had, and the only hope that individuals had, is knew that Jesus came, Jesus died, and Jesus is coming again. You know what hope we have this morning? Jesus is coming back. The second coming of Jesus. This is the unity that brings together as they're being studying, as they're knowing, as they're being taught the doctrine, as they're being taught this unity coming together. Now let me just say this. When it comes to the second coming of Christ, there's different views out there. And you know what? We can argue the differences and we can talk about all the differences, but you know what? Sometimes what that does is bring disunity instead of unity. The bottom line is this. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming back. And it's good to sharpen iron. It's good for us to study. It's good to understand and see what we believe. And if we're post or mid or pre or all the different things out there. And if we're all the different terms that are given there. That's fine to study that out. But let me tell you. What this is teaching us is, and what this is getting them to understand is there's some things that we major on that we don't need to major on. And there's some things we have to understand. And I'm not trying to be ecumenical this morning. Please don't take me wrong. But there's some things that we major on that we don't need to major on because we have to realize there that we have a common goal, and that is to serve God. We're to have unity within the church. And yes, we can have some differences. And I wish there's some things in Scripture. A lot of things are pretty black and white. But there's some areas that we call gray areas that we can interpret a little different because we're human beings and we don't fully understand everything till we get to heaven. But those are things that we don't split hairs upon. We have to understand that we need to come together as a church. Now, I'm not saying to go hold hands with those that don't believe in salvation by faith and faith alone and sing kumbaya. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we as a church, those that are studying the Word of God together, those that are part of the family of God, those that understand the truth of the Word of God, come together, study the Word of God, have unity together to realize that we're one in Christ Jesus and He's coming again. And I want you to also see as we look at this, one Lord. He wanted them to remind themselves they have one Lord. That's you are saved. You have Jesus. You have one Lord. You understand what they were saved from. You understand that they had the pagan gods. You understand that there were many gods in that day. Well, he wanted them to realize that you have the same Lord. You're not serving several lords this morning. You're serving the same Lord. I want us to understand as a church this morning, if you're saved this morning, you and I are serving the same Lord this morning. And we're to serve him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. We're not to serve two masters. We're only to serve one master, one Lord, one faith. This idea of this one faith carries the idea there that they are sure in what they believe. Because there are those, even that day, said you could have a mix of faith. You could believe the old pagan system of idolatry and the idols, and you can adapt Jesus, and you can blend the two together. What Paul was telling the church, there's only one Lord, there's only one God, there's not many gods, there's only one, and it's in Christ Jesus. There's not many faiths, there's only one faith. And that faith is in Jesus Christ, the finished work of the cross of Calvary. There's not many ways that lead to heaven. There's only one way to lead to heaven. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And now we have to understand this morning that we aren't to go in different directions. We're going the same direction because we have the same Lord, the same faith, and we have the same desires. We are to be doing what God has called us to do as a church. And then we have this here, one baptism. Now, some would say this is spirit baptism. Some would say this is physical water baptism. I tend to believe this is talking about physical baptism because it's not tied to the verse that talks about in the spirit. If it was, I believe if it was, it would be tied to that. I believe it's tied into the Lord here, so it's carrying more of the physical. Again, I'm not going to split hairs over that. I don't think it's an area of division or that there. But the idea there is in that day, when one would baptize, and it still is that way in a lot of foreign countries, it set them apart. It identified them of who they believe. Do you know today, even today, those that get saved and baptized in foreign countries, when they do that, they have to do it in secret. Because if family finds out, they would come try to take their lives. We have a friend of ours, and Jamie's friends with him too, and he helps churches in foreign countries and different things, and he can't post their baptisms. He can't do that because then that person would be in danger of their life and in danger of those things. And the whole idea is this, is they understand they have the same baptism. That means that baptism in Christ, that identification, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and all that's there, and it's identifying, hey, you're on the same page. You're for the same team. You're not fighting against each other. You're fighting together for the cause of Christ. I believe that's what this whole portion is. And we could break those up even further and talk about even more, but I believe the whole thought is this. Stop fighting against each other and start working together because you're of the same. Do you know what needs to happen among believers today? We need to stop fighting each other. And I'm not saying there's fighting in this church. I'm not saying that. There has been, and there probably will be, and there, you know, we're human beings. It's going to happen. But we need to stop fighting. Because what does fighting do? Does it help or does it hinder? It hinders. If I don't understand that I'm in Christ and I'm all together with the other believers that make up this church, and I start trying to go against things, all it's going to do is cause division in the church. It causes problems in the church. When I react instead of acting how I should, with certain things, and realizing I'm supposed to love my brother and sister of Christ because we're of one mind. We're to have that same mindset. We're of one body. We're of one Lord. We're of one faith. We're of one baptism. When I understand that we're together and we're supposed to come together and work together, that changes my whole outlook, how I look at things and how I deal with things. And it makes a difference in the church. That's why Paul was addressing the church of Ephesus and saying, I want you to get a hold of this because you guys are so worried about all this other stuff and you guys don't realize that you're to be working together and this church is not going to grow. This church is not going to be what it ought to be if there's division in the church. God says he'll add them to the church as he sees fit. That means the church has to be fit. Who is the church? It's not a building. This church is individuals. You are, I am, we're the church. This building is not the church. Now, I understand when we come together, we need to have respect and stuff. But I think so many times we respect a building so much that we lose sight that this building is just a building. My temple is a temple, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we put so much stock in a building. And we worship almost a building sometimes. Instead of realizing we are in Christ and we are the church. We are the individuals that make up the church. And we have to understand that the church needs to work together. That means the individuals need to work together. There needs to be unity together. We looked at walking worthy of our vocation. Walking in unity. So how does unity happen? Well, it happens when we understand that we are in Christ and what we have in common. There's one Lord, one God, one faith, one baptism. But look at verse 6. One God and the Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. How does it bring unity? God's in control. And where to follow God. And realize, now it's interesting, he uses the word Father there. He is the Father of all. That means he is over all of us. And we're under him. How do we bring unity? We have to learn to submit to God. Now I tell you, submission, surrender is hard. How many of you like to submit? How many of you like to submit to someone that is younger than you? Now, I tell you, we've been here in April, it'll be 19 years that we've been here. This last November, I've been here 15 years as pastor. I'm going to be 46. I'm getting old. I'm going to be 46. That means when we first came here, who can do simple math? How old were you when you first came here? No, that was Brother Jamie when he first came here. 19, 20 years old. No. 24, 25 years old when we first came here. 26 years old. Yeah. We've been here 19 and 46, so it'll be 25, 26 years old when we first came here. Now, I want you to get this. Do you know there are some people that looked at me and thought, that kid is still wet behind his ears? Some of you probably still think that. Some of you still think that. Now, Wade and I were talking just the other day, and he said, you know, I really thought you were here for a couple years and gone. Get experience and gone. And you know what? Lord has people where he wants people for the purpose. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. And we never know. But a lot of times we come to this thought that just because someone's younger, they can't know anything. Just because someone hasn't been in the church as long as we are. And someone is. We have to realize we're to be of one mind, one accord, working together. It doesn't matter if someone younger is teaching us. It doesn't matter if someone who has only been saved a short amount of time. It doesn't matter those things. We need to come together and have this mindset that we're under God and following God. Because we're not following the person standing here. Now we follow them as they follow God, but who are we ultimately following? We ultimately follow God and realize we're under his leadership. And submit unto him. But most of us don't like to submit. Especially younger people, to someone older or younger than us. How many of you have worked a job, and it wasn't your favorite job, but you got a boss that was younger than you, and you really struggle with listening to that boss. Some of you probably have been there. And this idea of submitting to this authority. Do you know we need to submit to God? That's going to bring unity. Do you know where in Ephesians it talks about the wife submitting to the husband? You know what it says before that? That they both are submit to who? God. Because I can't submit to someone else until I first learn to submit to God. And you know what's going to bring unity is us submitting our wills to one another. But you know what? How it's going to work? We can't submit our wills to one another till we submit to God first. Do you know why there is a struggle of unity among believers today? Is because we're not submitting to God. We are so stiff-necked. That's what Scripture calls you, not me. We're so stiff-necked, myself included, that we're not willing to submit to God. Because if I'm submitted to God, I'm not going to try to push myself, my agenda, my things. I'm not going to do anything that's going to break the unity in the church. I'm going to do everything I can to bring unity. I'm going to realize I'm in Christ, one Lord, one God, one faith, one baptism. I'm going to stand that we're looking for the second coming of Christ. I'm looking forward to all those things we talked about. And I'm going to come together and I'm going to realize I must surrender and submit myself to God and be broken and say, Lord, this is your church. Lord, this is yours. This isn't mine. Lord, we each make up it. And Lord, I don't know why you have so-and-so in this church. They could be this terrible person that they are. But you brought us together to be the church. And I don't care that I don't always care for their personality. I don't care that I always like how they... But Lord, you brought us together. And Lord, I want unity. And I don't care if I get rubbed the wrong way. I'm not going to allow it to affect the Spirit of God. And I'm not going to let it affect the church. And I'm going to understand. I'm going to come to you, Lord, and I'm submitting to you. And Lord, when I'm in you and walking as I should with you and I'm submitted to you, those things don't bother me anymore because I realize that we need to come together and work together for the glory of God. I want you to also see as we walk in unity, we come with this thought of this one mind, this one God above all, and through all, and in you all. What does that tell me once again about unity? I got to let God work through my life, through me, in me, out of me. What does that mean? God is doing the work. How am I going to have unity? I'm submitted, I'm yielded, I'm turned over, and as I'm doing that, God works through me and out of me. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you being used of God in the New Testament local church to bring the church together to accomplish the goal God has called you to? Or are you being used by another spirit to bring division? I want us to look this morning, and I want us each to examine this morning. What are we doing this morning to further the gospel of Jesus Christ through the New Testament local church? What are we doing this morning to strengthen? Next week, we're going to look in the next part because God gave grace. And we're going to talk about what that means. God gave grace for those to do certain ministries, certain things in the church. And God gave the grace to do that. And we're going to look at that next week. But let me ask you, what are you doing today to bring unity in the church to accomplish God's goal of being a lighthouse and carrying out the gospel in this community? Let's just be honest. I believe many of us need to relook at that in our lives. Because I believe, as much as our desire is, we have gotten so caught up in so many different things that we don't even know that we're causing disunity instead of unity. We don't even realize that we're causing division over things that we should not be causing division for. I understand there's times we need to stand up against wrong teaching. I understand we need to stand up against sheep and wolf clothing. I understand all that. But I believe there's many times in the church we don't even realize the damage we're causing. Instead of bringing the church closer together, the body of believers together, the individuals together, we are being used by the spirit of the devil to create division in the church. Until we have this unity, till we realize what we are in Christ and have this unity, we are never going to function the way God wants us to function as a church. Can't have many engines. Can't have many heads. God is the head. We need to follow the leadership of our God and submit to Him and realize He's the God of all and allow God to use us in a way that brings Him honor and hidden glory. Heavenly Father, we love you.